anybody. So thank you to the folks that had the coffee and the treats in the hallway. And thank you for being out in Sunday school. And happy Father's Day. Whether you've thought about it or not, we all have to be grateful to a father or you would not be here. And those of you that know Christ, we have the most wonderful Father to be thankful for because he loved us and has saved us. And so what a wonderful celebration, really, at two levels. Somebody says, well, I didn't have the world's greatest father. How many understand just being in this country, we are all blessed. And you look at what people around the world face and just the nation. I talked to your pastor, and one of the things I do with the National Center for Life and Liberty. Now, before you say, boy, that's a long name, Mr. Gibbs, just remember NCLL. NCLL. Now, how many have heard of NCAA in the sports world? That's the collegiate sports. So if you just remember NCLL, Life and Liberty, and our website is ncll.org, and you can connect with us there. You've got some newsletters that were handed out as you came in. And before you go today, at the end of the main service, you'll have an opportunity if you would like to connect up, and we will send you information where you can pray for what's going on. But one of the things I do is I do a weekly radio show. I did it actually from Fremont. I go to different radio stations just depending on where I'm at. I was at KFAX, which is a station there, and then they connected up to a satellite, and on a 10-second delay, talk to 300 stations every Saturday for an hour, and it's called Law Talk Live. It is on a number of stations here in California, but you can always find it online and listen to it live, and you're always welcome to call in. If you're not overtly weird, we'll put you on the air, you know. So with all of that, but I said for Sunday school that I would maybe just throw out a few topics or things that we could talk about, but I will let you ask questions, okay? So if you want to be thinking, now, first of all, you have an attorney. How many understand in California attorneys are expensive? Okay, so you have an attorney answering your questions for free. That's a pretty good deal, all right? But in particular, dealing with our constitutional issues, our rights, our liberties, what's going on in Washington, D.C., what's going on the religious liberty front, maybe church liberty, maybe there's something you've just wondered about. And so I will gladly take your questions during our Sunday school time, and we will discuss the issues that are on your heart and mind. How many have figured out we're in an unusual hour right now in America? And you don't have to watch a lot of news to realize that really our government is sort of out of control at this point. I'm going to give you just maybe a little black letter constitutional understanding, because one of the things I really believe is that we are losing our liberties because we don't even know what they are anymore. And I recently, Karen and I had the privilege of sitting down with Senator Ted Cruz, who was a senator out of Texas. He's in First Baptist Church there in Houston. And when he decided maybe to try to run, he hired a company to poll the state of Texas. And I mean, he had no name recognition. He'd never run for anything. And the poll came back that he had 1% support with a 3% margin of error. And he said, so I started out at -2. It didn't work pretty well for me. You know, everybody said, you know, you're wasting your time and money to even try to go forward. But he felt like the Lord was in it. He actually won a statewide election. He's the current senator, very conservative, and he's a believer. And how many like it when Christians win? That's a good thing. But then number two, he actually acts like a Christian in Washington, D.C. How many like that too? Because, you know, it's one thing to get them in. I've seen Christians get elected, then they get into office and they forget the Bible, they forget their faith, they kind of depart from what you had hoped they would do if they win. But Senator Cruz said, and I agree with him, that we are facing a constitutional crisis in America. That people are viewing the government as the giver of their rights. Now, can I stop right there? How many understand that's a huge mistake? God is the giver of your rights. Okay, so somebody says free speech. How many believe that's from God? Freedom of religion, the ability to worship and follow and be in this great church. And by the way, how many love and appreciate this church? What a wonderful ministry. But that's from God, to follow after him, to trust him, to the right to bear arms, self-defense, ordained of God, that people would not have to absorb injury, that they could properly and rightfully defend themselves, and equal protection, that we're all created equal in the eyes of God. And by the way, how many of we are made in the image of God? That's what makes us different than the animals, that we are made in his image. We have that will, that ability to choose him. How many rejoice that we're not robots? Now, there's some Calvinists that would want to turn you into a robot, but you're not a robot. You have the ability to say yes or no, to make a decision, and that is something that makes us from God. We have all of these rights and liberties. And what the Constitution was a document that our founding fathers said, we want to make completely sure that the government in these areas for certain would never infringe on your God-given rights. That's why Congress won't make any law establishing religion or prohibiting your free exercise. That's why the free speech is protected. That's why the right to bear arms, and the list could go on. But in today's world, most of you figured out they're trying to eliminate God. And what they want to say is, well, here's this grand government. And please realize, in a lot of people's mind, the government has almost become their God. They almost pray to the government. They look to the government, you know, care for me, help for me, look for me, out for me, give me health care, give me what I need. And their dependence has moved away from self-reliance and reliance on God, and really has turned into almost a governmental dependence model. And then a lot of Americans would say, well, the government gives us our rights or gives us our freedoms. And that is a mistaken constitutional analysis, that indeed we have these rights from God. Let me toss out another one that's in the news. How many of you, like me, are a little shocked the government's spying on everything you do? Now, you know, we could have a little fun with this, but I mean, the reality is they're looking on the internet, they're looking on the phones. I mean, all of you have, I have a smartphone. How many figured out the phones are getting smarter than the people? Okay, I mean, they got these really complicated devices. But the phones have GPSs and trackers, and I mean, if the government in theory wanted to say who's at this church, boom, right now at 10 o'clock or 11 o'clock, they could take digital snapshots and off of your phone probably create a complete list of everybody who is in this building. You say, well, Mr. Gibbs, would they do that? How many understand they are doing that? Maybe not for your church, but for others that they deem as suspicious or troubling or out of the mainstream. And our Fourth Amendment was designed that there would, unless there was probable cause that a crime was being occurring, that the government had no right to do this. And so we are facing a constitutional crisis in America, and it really is important that people like yourself, and how many appreciate the fact that you have a pastor who stands up for what's right? And he, not just in this church, I love this beautiful auditorium that you've been blessed with and this beautiful campus, but how many appreciate the fact that you have a pastor that goes out into the community and speaks to the government leaders and speaks to law enforcement and speaks to the different leaders, business community leaders, and wants to be that salt and light. And they don't always appreciate the message, but how many believe they need to hear it? Because then the power of the Word of God can do its work in their hearts and minds. But we're in a society right now where a lot of folks are almost in a certain degree of despair. Mr. Gibbs, it just seems like, you know, the wheels are coming off and what's happening. And I would have never thought that we'd see, you know, the Supreme Court taking cases on gay marriage or the things going on. I mean, here we had a vote in California. I mean, the people vote and they just want to flip it and change things. And we're in a society right now where at times it can almost be depressing. But how many believe nothing catches God by surprise? And I give you a little good news. We've read the back of the book, and guess what? We win. You know, maybe a little bit of an interesting ride, maybe a little turbulence, but guess what? We win. And so I remind you, and I'll take to the floor for questions in just a minute, we don't fight for victory. We fight in victory. Somebody says, well, what happens if marriage gets all redefined? How many believe God already defined it? I mean, and somebody says, well, wait a minute now, you know, before you, you know, I get this question on the radio sometimes, you know, the Bible has polygamy in it. Yep, it does. The Bible has adultery in it. Yep, it does. And the Bible has incest and all sorts of bad stuff. Yep, it does. But how many understand you just go to Genesis and find God's perfect model? Before sin entered the world, how many believe there was Adam and Eve? And that was God's plan. He set it up. It was organized. Now, man in sin has always messed with God's perfect plan. And there's always been evil. There's evil in our society. There's evil in this community. And there's things that are displeasing in the eyes of God. But just because man breaks God's perfect plan doesn't mean that God's perfect plan isn't what he intended. And by the way, American law was based on Genesis 1. The idea was, this is the model. A man should marry a woman, ideally for a lifetime. God may or may not bless them with children. And that was enshrined into American law because it was based on the Word of God. How many understand they want to set aside the Word of God? And we do have a society that wants to do what's right in their own eyes. Any topic you want to talk about? Any questions this morning? Yes, ma'am, in the front row, nice and loud. Wonderful.
And I've been contacted twice to go back to a ministry.
Yes.
And it terrifies me that I'm going to have. Luckily, I was busy because I heard them say the word commitment ceremony.
Right.
So I made myself busy.
I understand.
But I'm scared that I'm not.
You kind of lied to him a little bit, you know. I'm teasing, but.
Yeah. A photographer actually has been doing this.
Yes. All right. Well, first of all, relax. You're doing the right thing, okay? And you have every right to be mildly petrified because the homosexual community has made this whole gay marriage thing a big attack against wedding-related businesses. Okay, now you're a photographer. I realize you may not just do weddings, but you're a wedding-related business. Floral people that provide the flowers, again, wedding related. They may do other type of things, but they are generally wedding planners, others that choose not to. Let me tell you a little story. Up in Washington, I was on Fox News to talk about this case. A lady for years knew that these two homosexual men bought flowers from her shop. Okay, and she would sell flowers to anybody. She'd sell them to homosexual, heterosexual, nice people, not nice people. I mean, walk in, you can buy flowers. So she wasn't discriminating, okay? These men walked in one day and said, guess what? Gay marriage is now legal in Washington. That's the state of Washington, just up north of here. And they said, we're gonna have a marriage ceremony and we don't just wanna buy the flowers, we want you to come and participate as our on-site florist. We want you to, you know, be there and set everything up, make it look right, monitor it, you know, make sure everything, you know, we're going to pay you for your services to be there at the wedding. And the lady was very nice. She said, look, you know, I'm a Christian. And she said, I don't believe in homosexual marriage. I'm not judging you. I know this is what you're going to do. But I will sell you flowers, but I won't come on site. That would violate my faith. I just don't feel like me personally participating is a good idea. And actually at the time, the homosexual guy said, well, we're sorry about that, you know, but it's your decision, and left. The state of Washington, okay, we're not talking just somebody in town, the government with the tax dollars of that state sued her and said, it's illegal to run a business in Washington that in any way discriminates against gay marriage. Now, you would know Washington and California are patterned pretty closely, except for the fact that you passed the Prop 8 that defined marriage as a man and a woman, which is under review by the Supreme Court right now. Washington has legalized same-sex marriage, so that is a difference for Washington that makes it more difficult. Then the ACLU proceeded to sue her. Now, how many know that's not a nice Christian group? Okay, they are, you know, and by the way, I'm an attorney. I get some of their fundraisers. They'll get all the lawyers and they send a letter out. And I mean, they'll say, we're anti-God, we're anti-prayer, we're anti-Jesus. I mean, they raise over, are you ready for this? Over $100 million a year. And not tax deductible. because they don't want any limitations on what they do with politics or otherwise. So they refuse to give a tax receipt. They raise huge amounts of money as part of the anti-God agenda. So this florist has been sued in Washington, and that case is pending. Cake decorators in Iowa. So your concern is legitimate, okay, that they are right now, that the gay marriage crowd is trying to beat up and attack any Christian business person that does not want to deal with them. Now, coming back to your specific scenario, the important thing for you is exactly what you did, okay? Keep schedule very fluid. Don't commit to things until you know exactly what you're getting into, okay? Because in today's world, you know, you may want to say, you know, let me check my calendar and I'll have to get back with you. But before I do that, can I just get some basic information? Okay, number one, who's the bride? And let's hope it's a girl, okay? You know, who's the groom? Let's hope it's a boy, okay? And you know, and be careful, because names can even be confusing in today's world. But, you know, and then where is it going to be at? And who's going to officiate? Who's the, you know, you can just get some of the basic information, you know, how many photos are you looking for? How long, you know, but you haven't committed yet, okay? And I really do recommend that for whether you're an attorney taking cases, whether you're a doctor dealing with patients, whether you're a photographer doing services, you're a florist, whoever, don't narrow down to them that I'm discriminating against you because I don't believe what you're doing is right. Now, personally, I think you should be able to do that. And by the way, how many think Christians should be able to make decisions based on their faith? I mean, our religion is being, in a measure, violated, but I'm trying to, for you, avoid problems, and sometimes just saying, look, that date doesn't work, or I'm not available, and I hope you have a great ceremony, you know, and you kind of move on. And that is a way to almost kind of pre-screen, okay? And by the way, let me make it a little more practical here. How many think that's a good idea when somebody comes to join a church, too? How many think it's a good idea that they're actually saved? You know, and that the pastor gets to talk to them. Or, you know, somebody walks in and they say, yep, I want to join. All of a sudden, boom, they can cancel the vote of the pastor. So, you know, even in a church realm, you're smart to slow down a little bit. One pastor told me he started interviewing people that wanted to join his church, found out about 40% of them weren't even saved. When you actually sat down and started talking to them and said, you know, tell me when you trusted Christ. You know, well, I was born saved, or I grew up Catholic, or I, you know, and all of a sudden you find out they're nice people and they want to join your church and you want to minister to them, but they've never genuinely had that moment where they've trusted Christ. And so I'm a fan, whether it's in business, whether it's in ministry, sometimes when you rush and you jump into things, you wake up and you go, oh my goodness, where have I got myself into? If you can slow down a little bit and get a little more information, good information lets good people make good decisions. And so that's where, again, in California, you're probably a little more protected because gay marriage is not yet the law. But I do think if you can stay off of the hot button issue and just do it on calendar, you're always safer. Now, some of the older folks in here, how many of you like me are in shock that these are even issues that business people have to think about? I mean, you know, when did sexual orientation become this protected category? And we really are in, you know, a tragic world when you think about just how quickly that has exploded into our culture. And really, as we sit here today, and this is liberal scholars would say this, and conservative scholars would say this, basically, homosexuals are more protected under the law than Christians are. And that is just, to me, unbelievable. I mean, when you look at how they have twisted the Constitution to say things it never intended to say. And when you look at how all of that, and you say, well, how did homosexuals get their rights? I'll tell you legally how it came through, was on what they call the right to privacy, which is what legalized abortion. And basically, the homosexuals went to the Supreme Court. I'm really summarizing it down over a 20-year time period, and said, look, if a lady can murder a baby in the name of the Constitution, we should be able to do what we want to do. At least nobody dies. I mean, that was kind of the argument. And the Supreme Court gave them that protection. So, you know, you see where once you have one 1973 Roe versus Wade establishes this right, and you now see how it progressively over a generation changes what our children and grandchildren are going to face in the days to come. Another question. Yes, ma'am. Sure. And don't lose your thought, private workplace or government workplace?
Right.
Okay, go ahead. Are you saying it's a little unfair?
My question to the person that spoke to me was, what if that makes you uncomfortable? And I was told, you will not be uncomfortable. Is there anything in this person
well,
you can do to respond in that way?
Well, a couple of things. Wow. Well, first of all, let me say, I hate it that you have to deal with any of that, okay, in today's world. Now, that's indicative of what we're dealing with in today's culture, okay? Legally, okay, well, we'll go out legal. I mean, I think morally we'd all say this is just bankrupt and, you know, very wrong. Legally, private businesses have the ability to make decisions how they want to handle these type of situations, okay? So a private business can say, we're going to accommodate, I guess you call it a transgender. I mean, you go from one to the other, change gender, whatever, gender change. Or we don't, okay? And your company could have fired that person. I mean, they have the options, okay, in private business. Now, the homosexual community, the transgender crowd, is trying to get that ended, okay? They want to argue that it should be like race and religion and other protected categories, that their sexual orientation should protect them from any retaliatory actions whatsoever. That's not currently the state of the law, but that's where the law is moving, okay? Your company is making these decisions, believing in their mind that this is the direction they want to go in, that this is how they want to recruit employees, this is how they want to get customers. It's very similar to the what I call the Merry Christmas issue, okay? Private businesses can say Merry Christmas, okay? They can say, hey, I want everybody to say Merry Christmas. We want to celebrate the holiday. We think it's good for business. Or they can say, you're prohibited. Say Happy Holidays or don't say anything at all, and they can put those regulations in. So private businesses. Now, there's some benefit to that for you all. How many understand this local church is private also? And if somebody were to come in here and they were to create problems or be disturbing or acting out, I mean, I talked to a preacher this week, you know, that two activist homosexual ladies came in and were disturbing the services, okay, and talking the whole time and just being rude. I mean, it was obvious that they were there to make a scene. Well, private church or private business can ask people to leave. I mean, you can say you have no right to be here. I have no right to be here. If your pastor were to say, Mr. Gibbs, you need to leave, it may not be nice manners, but he'd have every right legally to, you know, throw anybody out. I mean, that's the legal right. You know, you obviously want to be a friendly church, and you are a friendly church, but the point being legally, you can say, this is our church and we don't want this person to come in and act that way. So businesses have these rights. Now what she's indicating is they're going so pro-transgender, so pro this new ideology, that they're almost hostile to Christians. I mean, they're basically telling me to keep it to myself, not to say anything. I mean, you know, how do you invite that transgender person to church? Well, if you say anything, it's going to be perceived as being a hostile work environment or somehow discrimination or somehow harassment, and you will find yourself in difficulty. And so they are treating the Christians unfairly. Now, if you were to go to court and say, let's sue my company, and I know you're not asking for that, okay. Number one, they will fire you. I mean, I understand that's no fun. Okay, but then number two, you got to get a jury to agree with your perspective. And how many understand jurors in America today don't like independent Baptist or traditional Christian philosophy as opposed to this, what we'll call more laissez-faire, live and let live, do what you want to do philosophy. And so there's a good chance the jurors would say, you really should be fired for being that type of person. So tolerance in America, and I'm just, again, I don't like any of this. I mean, I hope you understand as I'm explaining it to you, I'm very troubled by it, but tolerance right now is a one-way street. Okay, we're going to tolerate the perversity, but we're going to eliminate the Christianity. Yes, sir, you had your hand up before. And you're in healthcare?
Yeah.
Okay. So as a healthcare person, you have right now what they call right of conscience, which is you're able to say, as a matter of faith, I cannot be involved in this. And rights of conscience cases are getting more and more difficult. Okay. Now, they a lot of times get built on like law enforcement. Okay. You know, police officer gets has to run into, let's say, a bad establishment. Okay, well, if there's a crime being committed, he has to go in. But then maybe a police officer gets assigned to go be a, you know, you have to go over there and stand in this establishment and kind of just monitor. Well, then he might be able to invoke right of conscience. I don't feel this is a good place for me to be. And so those cases have kind of worked their way around. And they look at the state of the law, and they look at the emergency type status. Now, that's where like abortion and medical procedures get tricky, because sometimes they will say, well, this is an emergency, we gotta do it quickly, you're on call, you don't have the right to opt out. Now, bigger facilities that have more options or elective abortions, there are ways that they have been able to do that. But you're absolutely right. The trend is moving away from right of conscience. I mean, let me use what you've got out here in California. Counselors, okay, cannot use what they call reparative or counseling to help homosexuals come out of the lifestyle. That is injurious to them. You know, that's the new legal standard. So what you're watching is culturally, they're moving away from anything that's anti-homosexual, anything that is pro-life or anti-abortion. Now, let me tell you a big lie that was in the most recent election. Abortion is not a women's issue. How many understand that? It's a life issue. I mean, I understand it's ladies that have the procedure, but the bottom line is you're sitting here with an unborn baby receiving no protection. Now, put a little perspective on it. 1973, abortion's legalized. We have now had 55 million children. Okay, how many think that's a lot over 40 years? Okay, now, let me help you. 55 million is a big number to me. Everybody that lives in California, how many understand that's a whole heap of folks? Biggest population base in the country, biggest state. Then for good measure, let's throw in Florida. Okay, that's our fourth biggest state. Put it all together, eliminate everybody over 40 years, and you have Roe versus Wade, 55 million people. Everybody's gone. Now, that's a lot of unborn children that have not had their lives protected. And how that is continuing to be a protected constitutional right is going to put healthcare officials or healthcare workers like himself in increasing jeopardy of not being able to exercise that right of conscience. Now, obviously, people will have to make their own decisions, okay? And I realize those can be very difficult decisions because you may have a good paying job, you may have a nice organization you're working for, and all of a sudden they want you to violate your faith. I would obviously encourage folks to stand up for their faith. How many believe we need to live our faith regardless of the consequences? That will be, but there could come a day, I mean, let me go even broader than performing abortions, where they say, okay, do you go to that church? Are you one of those people? Do you believe that we're going to hell and you're not? Well, if you're that type of person, we don't want to hire you. And that could be whether you're at a plant, that could be at a factory, that could be a working service job, retail. And all of a sudden you'd be like, wait a minute, just because I believe in Jesus, just because I go to that church, they can discriminate like that. Now the law right now is not there, but it's trending that direction. Now I believe we need to stand up for our faith. And I think one of the problems we have in America is lots of Christians have climbed into the closet while the wicked crowd has come out. And I do have a little bit, and again, I think you take the right stand, you always do it the right way. How many believe you should have a good spirit when you stand? But I don't know about you, I'm a little bit at a enough is enough. You reach a point where you just say, you know what, the time has come. You know, our early church forefathers, I mean, they faced jail, lions, imprisonment, many of them tortured, you know, many of them suffered economic hardship. I mean, let's go through the early church. It was a trading society. And all of a sudden you say, I believe in Jesus Christ. They don't want your goods. They don't want your services. Your parents disinherit you. Your family shuns you. And all of a sudden they were completely on their own and largely impoverished. That, by the way, is why many of them lived, as the scripture says, with all things common. They didn't have that much. And it was like, well, we can help each other because we've been cut out of the economy. We have no way to, because we've taken a stand for Jesus, we have no way to earn a living. You know, they didn't have the currency like we do that's more of a trading in money. It was negotiations. You know, I'll give you some goats for your cow. I'll give you some service for your service. And all of a sudden you name the name of Christ, nobody will deal with you. So they weren't just social outcasts, they weren't just spiritual outcasts, but they suffered economically. But they pulled together, and those are the people that turned the world upside down. And there is power. Yes, sir? Now, we charge for the second question. I just want to make sure that's clear. The first one is a Sunday school freebie. The second one is $500. So we expect a generous offering. I'm teasing. Go ahead. Well, that's and you sound like you're writing marketing materials for what I do for my life. Okay, I do believe we need to stand up like never before, and we do need to boldly declare. My world, I'm a court attorney, and I do cases every week of my life. I mean, we just had a case that's accepted before the Supreme Court that's going to decide whether the name Jesus is constitutional or not. Now, by the way, how many believe Jesus' name ought to be constitutional? And I mean, that's going to have ramifications not just in public prayer, but government offices, policies, public schools. It's the Galloway case. We're going to be briefing it in July. I was just on a conference call. It's actually caught a lot of attention. There's about 75 other lawyers working as a team on all different facets of it from across the country, wanting to try to protect and preserve as much of our culture as we can. So I believe in fighting in the courts. I work with legislatures trying to get laws passed and stand up for every family value, religious value, traditional value, constitutional value that we can. And then I try to be a voice, whether it's on Fox News or on the radio show or in churches, because I do believe we need a huge wake-up call. I know you're in a great church, and I love your pastor, I love his spirit, I love his energy, but most of you would realize this church is not the typical church in Fairfield. Most of you would say a lot of the churches in Fairfield, and I don't know them, so this is not said critically, but I would say many of them are socially, they meet within the four walls and they don't really do anything in the community. They preach the popular parts of the Bible. And most of you would realize there are some popular parts. There's some easier parts. How many appreciate being in a church where the whole counsel of the Word of God is preached? And they are more entertainment driven. I mean, the idea is to just amuse. I say it this way. A lot of churches like to coddle carnal people in their carnality. You know, don't make them feel too bad. You know, and they come to church and they get coddled in their carnality and they go home as carnal as they came. How many appreciate a church where they're wanting you to leave here more spiritual? Leave here different than you came. And that is an imperative in today's world, is that we need to be boldly speaking up like never before. I'm going to preach on that a little bit in the morning message. I think we got one or maybe two more questions. The gentleman in the orange tie. That is very... I'm sorry? Okay, that sounds great. That's right. There's apathy. Yep.
There's no appetite for that. They just been pressure there, sitting everything in the pew every week in the pew.
And
is the most important thing. God loves those Libyan gays and marriage and everything. No matter who's sitting down in the White House, still the same God. God never changed, but God changed our heart.
Amen. I'll let you preach at 11 o'clock. You're doing great. I mean, and it is very nice you brought your daughter with you to church today. So, you know, but no, I agree with you. And by the way, there's a verse in 2 Chronicles that ties in with what he just said. Most of you know the verse, chapter 7 and verse 14. And the verse does not say if the government. And the verse does not say if the ungodly crowd. And the verse doesn't say if the judges or if the lawyers or if anybody. You know who it says? If my people. Say those three words. If my people. Now, collectively, God's pointing his finger at all of us. And God's saying, you know what, it's my people that are going to make the difference. So we can talk, and by the way, there's stuff out there that is scary and depressing, and we can talk about the problems, but let's also think about the solution. It's my people. Now, notice God doesn't just say, if my people hope it gets better. Okay, I mean, let me preach gently. If my people, what? Humble themselves. How many think there's a lot of pride in the church? A lot of pride in religious leaders, a lot of pride that shouldn't be there. Okay, if my people pray, okay, I mean, we all believe in prayer, but do we pray? If my people seek my face, that's with energy, effort, excitement. If my people turn from their wicked ways. Well, I mean, Mr. Gibbs, it's not that bad what I'm doing. I think it's okay. I kind of like these websites or this TV, and all of a sudden we get comfortable. God says, no. Humble yourself, pray, seek me, turn from what you know to be wrong. Then God says, number one, I will hear you. By the way, how many are happy God hears us when we pray? Number two, God says, I will forgive you. How many are delighted God doesn't hold grudges? But then I'll just give you this, and this can broaden out. This is God's formula for healing. He says, I'll heal your land. Now, can I go just a little broader? Maybe you're here and it's Father's Day and you've got a broken family. How many believe God can heal your family? Maybe you're here and you've got a broken workplace. How many believe God can heal your workplace? Maybe you're here and you've got a broken community. How many believe God can heal your community? Maybe you've got just personal hurt and angst and stress, and maybe you're wrestling with bitterness or defeated, or maybe you're just personally needing a healing. God says, if my people follow this formula, humble themselves, pray, seek me, turn from what they know to be wrong, I, God, and how many rejoice that God keeps his word? I, God, will hear you. I, God, will forgive you. And I, God, will heal. By the way, how many believe not just America needs a healing? How many believe the world needs a healing? And that's why we have missions and outreach, and it all starts with us. I think we are coming up to probably where you take a little break before your 11 o'clock service. Let me say this. I do want to thank you for the privilege of being here. I'm looking forward to preaching in your service. And I want to thank your pastor for his grace and his hospitality. And it's been a fun Sunday school. So, Pastor, I turn it to you, sir.
And, of course, I'm sure that Brother Gibbs will be happy to answer any personal questions out in the lobby.